Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We smell like we sound, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. There's much to discuss, so come on in. Everybody, my name's Marcus Speller, Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
400k.
And the man who's hungrier than Big Sam, it's Pete Donaldson.
Pint of wine.
Well, that's Big Sam done. God. Dear, what games are coming up this weekend?
Deary do.
Wow.
Did one of the meetings take place in Wings?
Yes, it did. Yeah. The decisive
confirmed.
One.
Oh, if the walls could... Well, they don't need to talk. No, we saw what happened. Yeah.
Called an MSG, mate. I can't spit anything. If the walls could talk, oh, I'm so awake!
Yeah. Are you implicating MSG in this in some way?
Maybe it is. Maybe that's the big problem. Too much MSG, modern managers.
Because you are the MSG expert of this show, obviously.
I am. Apparently they say now it's not so violently problematic for a human being.
Okay. Yeah, they would, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but they probably said that. They probably said that about. I'm a part of big MSG guys.
Yeah.
I'm chilling for them.
Who's they?
What?
Who's they?
What do you mean?
Who said, well, they've said it's not that bad these days.
The doctors.
Which one?
All right, my doctor said it's not my biggest problem.
Dr. Nick Riviera.
Why do you keep asking about
better. That's more accurate.
Yeah, okay, fine.
All right, yeah. Stay off it.
Yeah,
everyone.
67 days is a long time in football.
Oh. Yeah, it's been pointed out that it's 2 days less than the Chilean miners.
Yes, it is. Yeah, they were underground longer than Big Sam was England manager.
What an unfortunate. Yeah. Well, that's a diss for them, isn't it?
I like Big Sam. They were all successfully rescued.
Well, I don't know. He wouldn't
have fit through that bloody little hole, I tell you what. In that shoot.
Yeah. Entrapment won the day. My goodness, obviously there's a lot's been said about this already. Should he have lost his job about this? That is the...
Should have been in the room, yes.
Yeah.
That's the... Bringing the proud England manager title into disrepute.
Yeah.
Should have been in the room.
Because we were pretty adamant in the summer that it was going to be difficult, nigh on impossible, to top the embarrassment of the Iceland.
And here we are. And yet also, so Gareth Southgate has taken over for 4 games. Let's have a little think about that. He turned down being caretaker manager last time because he wanted it so little. It's so bad, the person in charge is literally the person who doesn't want to be in charge the most, basically in the world.
Yeah.
that's how bad it's got.
I feel sorry for Gareth Southgate because he really has to take the job, doesn't he? Because if he doesn't step up now, then it looks like he's a very unambitious man and the FA will say, hang on a minute, we've put a lot of time and effort into you. But yes, he does look like the most reluctant England manager of recent years.
I think he's got it for 4 matches while they sort of work out a successor.
Yeah. Just to go back against Scotland, didn't there?
I mean, I would wait a few weeks to see what comes out of this whole story, exactly, to be quite frank. Yeah. Who's the unsullied?
Yeah,
what
does Gareth Southgate spend his spare time doing?
Yeah.
Probably nothing, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He probably gets takeout, mate.
Yeah.
Somebody described him as a safe pair of hands. I thought, well, in certain respects, yes, very safe.
Not from the penalty spot.
He
won't be taking penalties, though, which will be all right.
Well, yeah, good.
He'll have to take penalties training, won't he?
No, he won't. These are qualifiers. It's utterly irrelevant.
Marcus, to go back to your original question, I was saying to you guys earlier, I've been rolling it around in my mind. Obviously, I've had a good run-up at this because it came out predictably about an hour after the last show came out, which is how the football world works.
Yep.
It's almost like the football world doesn't revolve around this show.
Yeah.
I, for one, don't feel very comfortable with that. Mm. But to answer your original question, I keep coming back to the same thing, which is, given the timing of it, and given the fact that he was having, I think, at least one of the meetings before he'd even taken his first training session.
That is crazy.
Manager, at any point, he could have just said no. Just don't go to the meeting. Don't do it. Don't get involved. Understand your role as an ambassador and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And understand the because someone else made another point, which I thought was reasonable, which is that the FA, I mean, rightly or wrongly, sort of pride themselves and have set their own stall out as being sort of ambassadors of the game, really. Yeah. The overseers of the game, the oldest football association, all that other stuff. And so for that reason, obviously, he has to go. But it's his own fault. I mean, I do sort of feel a bit sorry for him because he was very, very excited, very happy, very proud to get the job, as he should have been. Unfortunately, he's made some terrible decisions, as Pete just alluded to, by even being in the room. So as a result, there's no other option, really, I don't think.
As I think I said on the WhatsApp group, there is no reason for him to be in the room. And for me, I just think he just likes holding court. You know, he just likes talking about the game.
As well,
he clearly loves the game a lot, but he's going to be out of it for a little period of time.
Well, we don't know Peter because we only saw certain clips.
Well, as we saw earlier,
he could have been listening for the rest.
As we said earlier, just before we came on, absolutely right. Whoever it was who said it, you know, he's just got to answer a question. Why are you there? Why are you doing that? Yeah. And fine, you can qualify by saying, oh, yeah, but he was saying he'd have to run this past the FA and he'd do this and do that. Mm. It doesn't really wash with me. I think that's a bit mealy-mouthed, actually. I don't think that's acceptable at all.
There will be people who are listening to this very podcast, and thank you very much for doing so, that will say, he shouldn't have gone. He's not done anything wrong. You know, he said as soon as there was very naughty things said, he put the napkin on his face and went, no.
I'm a ghost. Yeah. I'm a big ghost.
The thing about that was an example of the guy trying to get him actually almost blowing it. Like, it's the equivalent of walking into the room and going, right, what do you reckon, Big Sam, bungs or not? No, not yet, build up.
As soon as somebody says about, the things he said which made him put the napkin in front of his face, he should be thinking, I'm out of here.
I've gone.
Yeah. Because yes, he, Big Sam, you could say, has not actually said anything that's illegal and there are loopholes and he said that it is easy, or there are ways to get around third-party ownership, and there are. Mm. You know, there's ways to get around all sorts of things. Doesn't make it right and morally and so on and so forth. But he can see that these people are probing him.
Yeah.
And when that is said, as if you need any more alarm bells.
Yeah, but he's got to think about what their intentions are.
All right, he might be waiting for dessert. I don't know.
But it's all about it's all about ego. It's all about kind of being a man of the people and being quite a friendly kind of interesting guy to get along with. And he clearly likes holding court. You know, that's definitely one of his strengths. You know, man management and stuff like that. Yeah. So, but yeah, he should never have been in that room. And yeah,
I agree with Pete,
it's all about. And you sort of say that he may not have said anything in particular. It just brings the whole, you know, manager of England into disrepute, especially because, you know, the amount of stuff that FIFA kind of inferred about how different governing bodies got the Russians and the World Cup out east, the Qatar World Cup and stuff like that. You can't be seen to do that. You can't be seen to have that when there's accusations flying from the FA.
If you put in wages and compensation, Big Sam is clocked up 70 grand a day for that job.
Wow.
It's not bad, is it?
No.
Not bad.
The irony, though,
he won't take any consolation.
No.
The irony with what he said about Roy Hodgson is he's probably done himself out of quite a bit of money in after-dinner speaking gigs now.
I'm going to get those.
And that's the real shame
and
here, isn't
Harry
it?
Redknapp's on record as saying he did nothing wrong. So,
Redknapp's done nothing wrong, or Big Sam's done nothing wrong.
No, Big Sam's done nothing wrong, and I'll present that without comment. But what I will say is, if Harry Redknapp is your cultural and sort of behavioural standards ambassador, then you know, good for you. But I don't think it's worth much.
I like the fact that Redknapp, someone says, "What do you think?" Well, I haven't done anything wrong. okay, Harry.
Yeah,
it was interesting what FA Chairman Greg Clark said when talking about the free press. He said there is nothing wrong with using what techniques you have to expose wrongdoing, and have, and it's 67 days.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, 442 did quite an interesting piece earlier today about the managers that have lasted less amount of time and that fewer days than 67. Brian Clough famously was 44 days at Leeds. That didn't go very well, of course, as we all know. Do you remember Les Reed back in 2006 at Charlton? 41 days before Big Pards rode into town to save the day.
Change the landscape of the game forever.
And a legend was born. And this is a great one. Obviously, earlier this year, Marcelo Bielsa lasted 2 days at Lazio. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
But this is a great one. I didn't know this. I'm not sure if you guys did, so I thought I'd bring it to the table. Leroy Rossinia was apparently Torquay manager for 10 minutes.
I knew it was one
because
day.
Because he was appointed as a consortium took over the club, and as soon as it was finalised, they decided they wanted their own man. Mm. 10
wow.
minutes.
Chimney cricket.
Never going to be beaten. Never going to be
that
beaten.
That is astounding.
Now.
Yeah. I haven't even got time to get yourself sacked in a really embarrassing, horrible public way.
I think, would any semi-pro or amateur teams want to put me as manager for 9 minutes?
Yeah.
So I can beat that. I can shake a hand, take a picture, and then you can fire me.
I think they might have had a priorities, Pete, to be honest, rather than beating a record that they didn't really know existed.
They either want to go viral or they don't.
Yeah, I don't think there's any suggestion to say they do, is there?
Good point.
Who knows?
Would you play
a lot of them seem to now, though, don't they?
You should sign the contract to be the manager 10 minutes from the end of a game, 9 minutes from the end of a game, play 9 minutes, and then quit. Then you get the maximum amount of exposure out of it, the maximum amount of fun out of it.
Exactly. And then I go in the crowd and go, you want Sham? You want Sham? Yeah. Hey? Yeah. Be the new Wilson Raider.
Fulfil every role.
Viral.
Speaking of viral,
Marcus's throat Spiller. Is what?
No. The test came back all clear. Marcus has done a video on our YouTube channel about potential candidates to take over from Big Sam, ruminating on all the options. And you can get that over at youtube.com/footballramble. And what we're going to do is give away a free book, a book of ours coming out on the 20th of October, to one lucky subscriber. So all you've got to do is subscribe to the channel, comment on a video so we can find you, and we'll pick one at random and you can win a free book
and some thrush medicine.
Yes.
Get over there.
We'll be in the package. Yeah.
If we can withdraw a little bit from the actual shock of this whole situation and like, oh my god, Allardyce is gone, like, it puts England so firmly back in square one, to the point where he was like, Allardyce was like, oh, go on then, we've tried everything else. Where do we go from now?
Allardyce was the best English candidate. Obviously I talk about that in the video.
Well, there's some candidates here. I mean Gareth Southgate is 11-8 favourite with Bet365. I mean, big Rio Ferdinand's in the mix at 100-1. Wow. £10 returns you £1,010, including your stake with Bet365. Ooh. So he's in the mix up. Other people involved, Bielsa's in there. Eddie Howe, who you touched on in the video, Marcus. What else have we got here? Gus Hiddink, he's in there.
Isn't Fernan busy with his social housing endeavour?
Yeah, he's in Mark Noble and Bobby Zamora.
He's an avid multitasker, though. So,
I think Gus Hiddink might be a crafty outside bet. But
you mentioned quite a lot on the video, Arsene Wenger.
Well, Arsene Wenger, the FA want him. Mm. He's in the FA's crosshairs. And the other one who's come to the forefront in the last sort of day, I suppose, is Ralf Rangnick, I think that's pronounced, who's the former Schalke manager.
He's made Stuttgart, Schalke. He's at Leipzig at the moment, isn't he?
I think he's a director of football, maybe.
Yeah, that's a strange one, that.
Well, if he's
available managers in a desperate situation, isn't it?
Well, West Brom tried to get him when Hodgson left there.
There's a bit
of a precedent of following Hodgson.
What are the odds on Hodgson?
Right. God.
Yeah, there you are.
I'll do it for 8 minutes.
Yeah. I think just to finish it off, the Big Sam chat is, it wouldn't surprise me that, he said he's not going to leave football. And I think it's one of those ones, if you are Sam Allardyce, I think get back into football straight away.
So Big George Graham was back in a job a year later.
There you are. And I think Sam Allardyce
will
do
done.
That. Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised. He's 61, I think. I wouldn't be surprised in, say, 4 or 5 years' time if it came back round for Big Sam, rightly or wrongly. I'm not saying that. It just wouldn't shock me if we were still in the same situation with regards to a lack of options for England manager. Wouldn't
Unfinished
shock me.
Business.
Is a prediction for you. I can see Big Sam rocking up at Aston Villa.
I think
they're obviously not doing brilliantly in the league at the moment. They've got a chairman who wouldn't care about that stuff, in my experience of seeing him operate. I don't think he would mind. I don't think many chairmen would mind. Villa is a big enough club for him, and he would probably take on the role he took on at West Ham, where he essentially got them punching above their weight and back up into the Premier League. I can see him going at Villa. I don't know when, but I wouldn't imagine it'll be too long, and I could easily see him going there.
And he's not a Geordie.
No, he's not.
You know, referencing the show on Monday. Right, let's go to the Premier League. There's a big one. Spurs versus Manchester City. The Citizens played out a great 3-3 draw with Celtic.
Incredible.
My goodness.
And what an away kit.
I like it. Yeah, I don't mind it either.
It was a rocket lolly.
It was one of the games. It was one of the games of the season. It was incredibly good.
It really was. It was the first time Guardiola's Man City have conceded more than one goal in a match. Which is a kudos to Dembele. He's having a great time in a Celtic jersey.
He's scoring a lot of goals. He looks a good player at that level, and obviously playing against City, who are clearly quite a few notches above the level of the Scottish Premiership.
Well, they're the best team in England.
He's done very well. It was a great game. I mean, the reason it was so interesting is because Celtic just went for it.
Yeah.
It was it was almost staggering.
Well, City aren't the first team they've shocked at Hampden Park, are they?
No, but
it was in a different way.
But even with like 2 or 3 minutes left when it was 3-3, I think it was Steve McManaman, who was very excitable on the co-coms. He was saying, take it into the corner, take it into the corner. And they weren't.
Yeah,
they really wanted the winner.
It was straight. I mean, yeah, against... I don't know if it was Guardiola's Barcelona. It was certainly Barcelona, obviously, that was game when they had a 78% possession and obviously lost 2-0. And other games when they beat Milan 1-0 when Milan were a decent Champions League side and so on. This was actually quite different from Celtic, which was quite incredible. But that atmosphere created at Celtic Park...
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It really does rock the away team. You know, you saw Manchester City when they were playing. You know, when they scored... They felt it was the way they celebrated and the way they looked pumped up. It was almost like they were in a cup final. But that's what Celtic want. You know, you want a kind of a cup final atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because often in a cup final atmosphere, the form book is thrown out the window and you can create that. Whereas if it's a case of, OK, this is a Champions League group game, we know they're better than us, OK, we'll try and just hang on in there and so on.
Yeah.
You immediately are playing small.
But also,
and the crowd helps so much with allowing Celtic to play a bit bigger.
I agree with that. And I also think, added to that, is I actually think it makes it quite hard for the home players as well. I mean, even if Rodgers, I'm not suggesting that those players aren't tactically versatile or aren't able to follow instructions, but even if Rodgers sets them out in that way and they come out into that absolute bear pit of a stadium and hear that atmosphere, you'd have to be superhuman not to want to really sort of infectiously take over and go for it.
Put the wind, you know, underneath you and just give you that extra spring.
And I don't even think Rodgers would have did give those instructions, because even towards the end of the game, he brought on Lee Griffiths, he went for it. He really wanted them to get a win, a famous win. And I think part of that might have been a reaction to the heavy defeat they suffered at Barcelona.
Well, they have to, don't they?
Yeah, we've got to do something here. And they really did. And it was a fantastic game to watch. I really enjoyed it.
It's a great moment for the club, isn't it? For the fans and for the manager as well.
Definitely.
So after being hammered 7-0 Barcelona, certainly. Spurs got a handy win away in Moscow to get their first Champions League points of the season.
A great win because CSKA and Moscow, I think they're undefeated at home. They're undefeated overall, I think, in the league in Russia. So it's a big win.
You know, there was a few players that haven't played that much in a Spurs shirt as well. You know, they've got some decent youngsters coming through. And Pochettino, the way he's, you know, the way Spurs obviously finished... not finished in the terms of the last game of last season, that was a disaster, but the way they were challenging for the title last season, the way they've carried on this season, and he's bringing in some more youngsters to the squad, and just there's still that kind of freshness about some of those players that I think they'll be challenging again. They look exciting.
Well, what you're seeing is a team and a club under Pochettino who's just got a completely... sort of easy to distinguish like identity and what they're doing, and each player that comes in seems to really buy into that and is really able to execute it. Son's got 5-5 now. It's a great finish off the great run off the last defender. Yeah. Great finish.
He's having a lovely old time. But this is a strange one though, and there's been a bit of a report on this that Song Heung-min, now he's 24. He turned 24 in the summer. He could find himself in a difficult situation because mandatory military service in his home country, in South Korea, is between the ages of 24 and 28, and he must start 21 months of this at some point.
Right.
And that's a long stretch, isn't it?
It really is. You know, in the past, some of the most famous South Koreans just decide to get it done and get it over with.
But you have to wait till 24 before you can do it?
I think so, yes. Yeah, so failure to serve without exemption leads to imprisonment. And they are strict about this.
Yeah, because lots of players do it, don't you? You hear that and assume, well, you know, a professional athlete playing abroad representing the country would get exemption, but they don't necessarily.
Well,
but
my granddad wants to bring it back in the UK.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just put it out there.
What, a little stint in the South Korean military?
Yeah.
How is Mr. Farage
in the past?
He wants all British men between the age of 24 to 28 to go and serve in the South Korean military. Is that why you keep going over there, Pete?
Yeah, well, I do bits at a time.
Yeah.
Doing a week at a time.
Being hit by a man on the moped, does that count as a national service?
I think that's a war wound.
Yeah.
Technically a war wound. he could have been from the north. You don't know.
I don't know anything about it. No,
could
I
be from Pyongyang.
I only know the heavily redacted version that you told me. Oh, he just came from nowhere and I wasn't doing anything wrong.
Stop touching up my moped.
Yeah.
Some have managed to avoid it or have had their military service time reduced. And that's if they achieve something great in their sporting field. So those involved in the team that won the bronze medal at the London Olympics, including Swansea midfielder Ki Sung-yung, have had vastly reduced military services. He missed the last game of last season because he was serving 4 weeks military service.
4 weeks? That's all he's got to do?
Because he won the bronze. Get yourself a bronze medal.
Get yourself a bronze.
I don't know if you get a silver, is it just 2 weeks you've got to do? A gold is just like a long weekend.
You get 2 weeks back.
Yeah, maybe.
Gold, you get 2 weeks back.
Yeah, you can make someone else do it.
Yeah.
Well, Park Ji-sung, formerly of Manchester United, and Lee Yong-pyo, who also played for Spurs, they were exempt after reaching the semi-finals of the 2002 World Cup.
Okay.
So if Son and his teammates can win gold in the Asian Games or the Asian Cup, he'll avoid it. So Spurs fans, get behind them.
Well, he was what very. What you got to do?
He was very close in 2014 because South Korea they reached the final, but they lost. I think to was it Australia?
Well, if you fancy Spurs to beat Man City at the weekend in the game of the weekend, in my opinion, they are 21-10 with Bet365. So £10 returns you £31, including your stake. Yeah. I'll tell you what. It would blow the Premier League wide open if Spurs were to beat Man City.
Spurs beat them twice last season.
They beat them quite heavily recently. 4 at home.
Rings a bell.
Yeah, I think they did, so you never know.
There's been 22 goals in the last 5 games between them.
Wow, so okay, right.
And they're both in pretty good form in front of goals. So this could be a great game.
Humdinger.
Before we go to the ad break, speaking of goals, little mention for Newcastle United.
Oh, beautiful.
I have to mention that, otherwise you cry.
That picture of Rafa floating onto the pitch. Yeah. Like an errant balloon. Beautiful.
That game was I only watched the highlights, but from what I saw, it was an astonishing game.
I was listening to it on Radio Newcastle, and fair play. I think it's McLaws.
Listening to it on Radio Newcastle.
What?
The king of the internet.
Yeah.
It was on TV.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't even on TV. It wasn't even on foreign TV.
Stop trying to catch him out.
It was a game between two small clubs, mate.
Stop trying to catch him out to try and smoke him out of watching live streams.
Yeah. I was looking for that little red cross. Get off.
Pete is part live.
I don't want to meet MILFs in my area.
Get that napkin off your face.
Get that napkin. Oh, you can't talk about that. Yeah. Can't talk about that.
Me watching live streams, get out.
I don't care if they're in my area. What do you know about my area?
You can watch live streams 30 or 40 years ago. You can't watch them now.
I don't want to join the Brit method.
But what I was going to say about that game particularly was that Newcastle must have had about 5 or 6 gilt-edged chances before they actually scored.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
And Norwich's first foray into the penalty area, they got a penalty. Mm. The very fact that Newcastle were 3-2 down in injury time anyway was an absolute abomination.
Dwight Gale had so many chances. Yeah. And they dropped Matt Sells. They brought in substitute keeper.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's all going
interesting.
On.
But it was 95 minutes and they were 3-2 down.
Yeah, that is incredible.
And then they score their last...
Mitro's celebration, or sort of...
Grabbing on the GBH Gale.
Quite something.
Oh. And, goodness me. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, Pete, Newcastle 11-10 to win the championship with Bet365 now.
Well, they're making it hard for themselves, aren't they?
£10 returns £21, including the stake.
Pete, are you enjoying this season more than last? I know it's always disappointing to go down, but, you've gone in for something now, aren't you?
I think I enjoyed the championship last time they went down, and I wish it didn't have to happen again.
I thought you were going to say, I wish it didn't have to end that we were challenging for a league title.
Well, it's dropping into a league where everyone wants to beat you, isn't it? Which, everyone seemed to beat us in the Premier League. Yeah.
I was about to say, dropping into a league where everyone wants to beat you, as opposed to a league where everyone does beat you.
Well, I was about to say, in Portsmouth in League 2, it's the same thing. both things happen. Everyone wants to beat you, and indeed, they invariably do.
But elsewhere, though, in Europe, former Newcastle man Luke de Jong scored for PSV in the Champions League.
That was the way.
Greener pastures. We'll talk more Premier League after this.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. This is the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. And this is the Football Ramble.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's talk about Leicester City versus Southampton. Talking about Champions League, Leicester look like they're prioritising it.
The Dragon Slayer strikes again.
Slimani's
record against Porto is magnificent.
It really is.
And he was the absolute, bane of their life when he played for Sporting. And
I love that when
he pops up again.
I love that when a player, doesn't matter where he goes, he has that certain something over a particular club.
They rode their luck a little bit. Late on, Porto should have scored. They hit the post and then a deflected shot. They should have scored and it was very, very close.
It's a great win, though, for Leicester.
Well, they started off with two wins. They've essentially, because of the way the other results have gone, they probably only need about... probably one more win, they should be fine.
Porto drew the last game, didn't they?
Yeah, Leicester should qualify. Yeah, make no mistake about that. And of course, if you finish top of your group, then you should get a nicer draw in the next round.
But are they going to suffer a little bit because of the African Cup of Nations? Because they've got a few players, Mahrez, Slimani, Amati.
Well, the Champions League...
Yeah, it doesn't resume till February, does it? So
okay, right.
So I mean, they will inevitably their players are going away and playing football, so they'll be that. But they may be okay, depending on which round, of course, they do get to the Champions League. And obviously, it's important to win your group. And when I saw Atletico Madrid beat Bayern Munich 1-0, I thought this will be the season Arsenal win their group and Bayern finish second. And you know what will happen?
You can feel the planets aligning, can't you?
Jimmy will happen, won't it?
Let's just, of course it will.
Yeah, all bets are off on that one.
Basically, it happened.
Another hugely enjoyable session on Arsenal fan TV for me yesterday.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, sorry, it was this morning, not yesterday.
Stop giving them views.
No, why? Yeah, I genuinely really enjoy watching it.
No one's going to seek it out. Oh, I really want to watch bloody Arsenal fan TV.
They had the guy on there who does the famous Wenger out banner man.
Oh, the bed sheet guy.
Yeah, Eric Banner.
He's on there. Eric Banner, yeah. The guy's in the Incredible Hulk film.
The Muggy Begs. Muggy Banner, as Ian Wright called it.
Yeah, nice. Might I say about Atletico Madrid, played 18 matches at home in the Champions League under Diego Simeone, won 14, they've lost just one, scored 47, conceded 4.
Magnificent.
Conceded 4.
Lot in it, 4. In one match. It could be terrible.
Well, get it out of the way.
Do you fancy him to go one game further this time around?
I'd like to see Leicester versus Atletico in the final.
Imagine it.
But it'd be hard to know who you wanted to win, because, I mean...
I'd want Leicester to win. Clearly.
Would you?
Yeah, of course I would, yeah.
Okay.
But at least
either way, there's a tinge of sadness, though.
But you'd have a consolation, though, there. So whoever won, you'd be fine. Whereas if it's like Real Madrid again, you're like, ugh. That's a bit annoying for Atletico.
Terrible.
Atletico are 12-1 with Bet365 to win the Champions League. Go one step further.
12-1?
Yeah, so £10 will return
you. They've been finalists like twice in recent memory. Yeah. Sorry.
£130 for the mistake, yes.
I'll tell you what.
Well, Simeone, famously, he was very close to leaving Atletico, wasn't he?
I mean, literally after the game.
Yeah.
Like, just walking off into the sea.
And he was persuaded to stay because they gave him a few signings that he wanted and all the rest of it, and he decided to have one more tilt at it.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see him do it. It's
heartbreaking to see him get so close twice, especially against Real Madrid.
Yeah, oh God, both times as well.
It is an absolute sickener, isn't it? And especially the way it went in the final. Of course, Ramos with the last minute goal, when they were hanging on, and then penalties.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Oh, dear. So Leicester versus Southampton. Let's talk about that game.
This isn't a great time to play Southampton. Leicester generally do pretty well against them at home, but
Southampton are playing tonight in the Europa League. A very long trip as well.
True. But Leicester have also obviously they're at home, but they've still had a game as well. And I don't know, they look defensively strong, Southampton, at the moment. And Charlie Austin's got quite a bit to prove at the moment, and he's repeatedly proving it. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. That
it was a bit of a long journey for Southampton, wasn't it, in the Europa League, and they actually drew the game 0-0, so not a shocking result, point away from home in Europe, but away to Leicester. It's a funny one with Leicester at the moment.
But Leicester are clearly treating the Champions League as a bit of a departure.
Yeah.
So they've won the Premier League now. We all know that. They all know that. And I always hark back to this. But Ferguson famously said, once you win the league, it's like a whole new set of challenges.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get close to winning the Premier League this season. We all know that. So for me, you can see them slipping up in those types of games. But it's the Champions League they're really treating as a real holiday, a real departure, something to be really excited for every week. Yeah, quite.
Take your mind off it.
But you don't want to be too blasé. Obviously, they want to win every game. But you're right. I know what you mean as a bit of a holiday, the Champions League. But it is a bit of a shame if a side like that, they win the Premier League, they get themselves into the Champions League, then if that's it, and then it's all over, and then they just go back to being Leicester, and they're maybe just a mid-table side. Okay, that's still what an amazing achievement, and so on and so forth.
But you sound really in for that, don't you?
No,
brilliant. Well done, Ranieri. Cheers.
Well, but what I mean is, having won the league, then you have a Champions League outing next season. Do you just want, nothing and...
Yeah, it's a bit of an anticlimax.
Do they have the infrastructure to kind of mount a long-term challenge when you've got all of those other clubs with incredible facilities?
I guess the worry for them is that, say for example, Slimani becomes a massive, massive hit, and, you know, off the back of them winning the league, they've been able to get these players in, but then they do finish seventh or something. All that hard work is completely undone, where those great players just get picked off, and it just further exacerbates the problem, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, I think...
The problem of being in the Champions League and being reigning champions of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Oh, problem!
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. But I think you're right, Jim. It's not a good time to play Southampton. They are beginning to find their stride, aren't they?
Yeah, I saw a really strange stat about them today, which was that they've not conceded a goal in 3 hours of football. It's two games. Not that impressive.
It's great, but yeah. It's better when they convert it to games, isn't it?
Yeah.
He hasn't scored in 117 minutes or something.
Yeah, which isn't either. It isn't very long.
Yeah,
either.
Right. Yeah. Manchester United, they're playing Stoke at home. Mark Hughes returns to his old club. One can forget about that after his stint as Man City manager. You'd fancy Man United for this, surely.
Yeah, I mean, don't they have a 100% record against Stoke at home?
It sounds about right, but it's strange times for a lot of managers at the same time in the Premier League. You've got Mark Hughes under a huge amount of pressure. You've got Guidoli under a huge amount of pressure at Swansea. You've got Bilic under a big amount of pressure at West Ham. Very difficult to know which manager's going to go first, because one of them is going to go.
Maybe they'll all go possibly not for on-field thing reasons.
Well, then, yeah, we even get into that bit.
Yeah.
I wish there was a big news story about a manager that's not me. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, there's seven of them.
Hey.
Maybe they'll all go at the same time.
Maybe Jose Mourinho and Pep Guardiola will be the only managers left in the Premier League.
Yeah. after a big short trial.
They could just duel it out over the Premier League wasteland.
Yeah. To be honest, yeah, they get divvied up the other clubs.
Yeah.
10 clubs each. But it's funny you say that. Obviously, Sam Allardyce is now available for other work, which, yeah, anyway.
tiptoe through the legals with me.
Yeah. He is known for saving clubs from relegation.
Yeah.
And so if clubs are down there and they're struggling, the big man's available.
He could end up back at Sunderland, the way things are going.
Oh, did David Moyes?
There's another one. But I think it's probably a little bit more unrealistic with Moyes because he's...
Doesn't matter who's doing the job,
is it? But he's only just taken over. Those other managers have been there longer, so it's easier, sort of, I guess, politically for them to be fired. Because if Moyes just comes in... There's an element of it with, if you fire someone very quickly, you look bad. But do you know what I mean? The old Malcolm Tucker thing. So I think he'll probably be safe for now, Moyes, because he's not really doing any different to any other Sunderland manager in August or September. But the,
isn't that the problem, though?
Yeah, well, I guess so, yeah. But the Man United Stoke thing, I mean, I saw that Rooney wasn't named in the starting 11 in the Europa League for United midweek.
Yeah.
To me, it comes down to whether they pick him, whether Mourinho picks him at home to Stoke. I thought he would pick him in the Europa League and then not pick him again in the league.
Mm.
But if he does pick him in the league against Stoke... I don't want to exaggerate or be hyperbolic about it, but their tempo and their pace and the way they play without Rooney is so much better that they could get themselves bogged down otherwise. I think.
Such a gift, though, to Mourinho if he was planning on chucking him out. It's like the form at the moment and the way they're playing.
Yeah, everyone's asking him to, aren't they? Mm. Like the press.
So he said that himself. Yeah,
the press have made it very difficult for me to pick him, which is deflects it completely as well. It's very well played in a sense.
It was indeed, Jim. Do you not think, though, with the Europa League, they didn't have a very good result at all last time round? And the club will think to themselves, OK, it might only be the Europa League, but for crying out loud, we've got to show a bit of face in there. And actually, Mourinho's thought to himself, we might need a result there. So I think he was certainly talking about bringing Ibrahimovic in. I haven't actually looked at
I think Zlatan did start.
Yeah, and Rooney dropped Rooney. So actually, he put a bit more focus on that game and thinks at home to Stoke, that they should win that the way Stoke are playing.
They should do, but I think they will. The old Mourinho thing about them, just maybe he thinks they're just a little horse in the first year. Like he was when he said that at Chelsea, we're just a little horse at the moment, and next season will be better. He'll get a season for free at United.
Yeah.
As long as it's not disastrous, he'll get a season for free. So if they bomb out of the Europa League in the quarter final, the semi final, and they finish in the top four.
And playing slightly better football than they did last season, maybe.
Quite, yeah.
More attractive.
I don't think anyone will mind too much because it's, you know, you can't sort of. I don't think you can really cry and clamour for long-term stability and then not give a manager the chance to do that, even though Mourinho doesn't have a huge reputation for doing that. We think this might be the club that he will stick around for if he can.
No, that's fair. Swansea are at home to Liverpool. Big talk that it could be make or break time for Guidolin. Obviously, we talked about him on the edge, but... If they lose this one, there are rumours that he could be off.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily fair because Liverpool are a really good side, but I think that probably is the case.
Well, maybe not losing, but in the manner of their performance, it could make or break.
I think he's toast.
Bit of a bogey fixture this, though, for Liverpool, isn't it? I think they've only beaten Swansea once in the five Premier League games at the Liberty, so It's an interesting one.
You fancying a home win, James?
I don't know. I think at the moment, because Liverpool are scoring so many goals and Swansea do look a bit lost, don't they? I think Liverpool probably will win, and it's maybe a bit of a false stat, but it's still interesting. Some teams, well, Arsenal struggle there sometimes as well, and it's, you know, they're quite good at home at rallying and playing, you know, above themselves.
Swansea should deploy their secret move and kick the centre back over, so that it creates a goal-scoring opportunity like they did against Chelsea and Gary Cahill.
The Terminator.
Yeah, exactly. And then I
genuinely thought you were going to say break all the players' arms. they're Swans.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Jurgen Klopp was on Monday Night Football.
He was.
Nice to see.
It was nice to see.
I'm still not bored of that guy.
I'm not either. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are, but I find them very watchable.
I think Klopp's great, and it was good to see him on there. He was asked about former players becoming pundits and said, "I have no problem with this. I only don't like when people don't think before they speak. If you only sit back and say they should have done more, they should have done better, why didn't they score a goal, then I have no time to listen, because that's a waste of time for me."
Not mention his words. No. Yeah. He was also asked about what he was like as a player, and he was like quite endearingly modest, wasn't he? Mm.
Very average. I was really quick and I was a good header of the ball, but that was it.
Oh, he's a professional footballer.
Bless him.
Yeah, he was. He played for Mainz for, and I think, all of his professional career,
and
actually.
And then he managed them, I think, yeah.
I do like Klopp. And what Liverpool, he said as well, or he certainly hinted, if he didn't say the actual words, they are now playing the way he wants them to play. Yeah. And he's got them going properly. And like you said about Mourinho, you know, Klopp will have a season for free, if you like, and last season, the way he was going about his business. It wasn't a brilliant season for Liverpool standards, but it wasn't a terrible season. This is where he's going to be really judged, isn't he? And they have started well.
And I was about to say that they all seem to buy into it. I mean, do you remember a couple of seasons ago, I think it might have been under Rodgers, where they would just blow teams to bits in the first half? The game would be over by half time. It was the season they almost won the league.
Yeah.
I'm doing a bit of that now. Their dogged determination and their pace and their speed and their real desire to recover the ball back after they've lost it is something that if they can keep it going all the way through the season, they'll be there or thereabouts. I genuinely still think City, Liverpool and Spurs are the three best teams in the Premier League. Mm. I realise that other teams will come into form and do well, and Arsenal are clearly in form at the moment. But over the long haul, I think those three will be there or thereabouts.
You see, Mario Balotelli has now scored more goals for Nice than he does at Liverpool.
There you go. A change is as good as a rest.
Right. What's our bet of the show, Luke?
Bet365, best bet of the show is, we're going back to Old Trafford and we're going to go Manchester United -1 to beat Stoke. So to beat Stoke by 2 or more at 5-6 with Bet365. £50 returns us £91.67, including our stake, with all proceeds going to the excellent Prostate Cancer UK. But you must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. For more information on responsible gambling, go to gambleaware.co.uk.
Lovely.
Go
Any
on
emails?
Those Red Devils.
Yes, emails, Peter.
Indeed. Got a few. Hi, Ramblers. I'm not going to say who this is from until the end. When I started dating my missus and she found out that I was a Sheffield United fan, she decided to surprise me with a team shirt for Christmas. Unwrapping the present, I saw the sacred red and white stripes, suitably jubilant. I showed the appropriate excitement. It sounds a bit fluffy. Later... Check out my blade. Later that day, when I got the chance to wear it, I found out, to my horror, that the Sacred Stripes bought a Sunderland badge.
Oh!
Wearing it with fake pride, I had to juggle an appropriate amount of wearing it without being seen by anyone. Eventually, I managed to ruin it, in inverted commas, when changing a puncture on the car and safely dispose of the offending shirt without upsetting the missus. She continues, safely oblivious to her blunder. But my shame burns inside to this day.
Is Cheers, that Kevin
guys.
Carruthers?
Well, he's calling himself not Kevin Carruthers, Kevin Carruthers, so now you know. I'm fairly certain that's a real email. It has the smell of one that's not.
It does. You do, but over the years, you do sort of get a little bit of time for sniffing out the
But then you
one.
Just feel like you've got old and cynical. That's the problem, isn't it?
Hello, the football ramble. I scored 3 goals at Old Trafford last week. Please read my email out.
Zlatan. I'll tell you what, this is a cracker. This is a cracker. Hello, Gareth. He says, settle down, because it's a good one, and a long one. As masters of Keeganology, I suspect you may know the story of Keegan's 1974 trip to Belgrade already.
I don't.
No. No.
But I only recently discovered it myself, so just in case you don't, I thought I'd share, and I'm so glad you did. In 1974, England were due to play Yugoslavia as part of a European tour, so they flew to Belgrade from Bulgaria, where the last game had been played. At the time, Joe Mercer was caretaker manager, and it was safe to say that his attitude to players' behaviour and state of dress was somewhat informal.
Lovely stuff.
As a result, the plane ride was closer to what you'd expect from a stag do abroad rather than a professional football team, with the players in their best 70s fashion gear and the booze flowing. Although not for young Kevin Keegan, who slept through most of the flight.
Can I just say, I would love to have been on that flight.
Oh, can you imagine?
A little more finery.
Puffing away on cigars.
Yeah. perm.
Yeah. Glorious. Everyone's smoking. Everyone's smoking right through the flight. When they landed, the team discovered that the FAA had forgotten that Sofia in Bulgaria and Belgrade were in different time zones, so their Yugoslavian minders weren't quite there yet. While Joe Mercer and the other FAA officials went off to try and find them, the players waited in the baggage area. Bored, Alec Lindsay of Liverpool jumped up on the luggage conveyor belt and started mucking about, only to be told to get off by the other players. What they didn't know was that someone had already called security. Keegan, carrying two bags of souvenir pottery from Bulgaria...
You know where this is going.
...had done nothing more than sit down on the metal edge of the conveyor belt when Yugoslav security arrived and dragged him off to a back room. There, in his own words, he was forced to kneel like a prisoner of war while being punched, clubbed and kicked. He was then charged with sexually assaulting a stewardess, assaulting a security guard, disturbing the peace and causing an obstruction.
Life in jail. Life. You got life.
Luckily, by that point, the players had found Mercer and the FAA, who themselves managed to find Keegan and alert security as to who he was. The charges were dropped, and an understandably sobbing Keegan was released. Next day, still played in the England game and scored a last-minute equaliser.
Oh.
Peak Keegan.
And then was punched.
Gareth, that was wonderful.
Excellent. Club. Brilliant. Gareth, you set Spelsy off. Oh.
Yeah, he's done.
Spelsy's
done.
How many more of these are there?
Yeah.
I thought we knew all of them.
Ah, dear. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your email. So we'll get
wrong.
To. If you want to get in touch,
you can't leave it there because Mark isn't ready.
All right, okay, I'll do one more. Tom Hodgson. I'm putting your mic down. Tom Hodgson from Gateshead says, a big hi to the lads at the Ramble. That's kind of what you do with an email, I suppose. My highlight of the week is Sheerness's Stuart Cruikshank taking a knock to the nose during a game. Luckily for him, a tampon was available to suppress the bleeding as he went on in style to score a blinder in a 5-0 victory in the East Sheppey Sunday League. I've attached a photo of Stuart in action, tampon and all. Everyone there agreed it was a bloody great game.
I'll be honest, I wasn't listening to that.
a man put a tampon up his nose.
Good man. Was it Keegan?
No, he wouldn't have put it out there himself.
No.
Was he beaten, kicked and clubbed?
Marcus, two bags of crockery.
Yeah. Probably smashed to bits.
All smashed. Like a Greek wedding.
The most breakable of all the souvenirs.
Didn't realise until he got home, though.
No.
Yeah. I got you a present.
What do you mean you've left me?
I doubt you'd assault as a stewardess.
Oh, never mind.
Wonderful.
Keegan.
We're going to have to get out of here for my sake. Yeah. Any more?
I just want to reiterate that if listeners... Very rude.
If listeners will
subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/footballramble, and comment on a video, we will pick a subscriber at random sometime in the next week or so to receive a free book, which is out on October the 20th.
Mm.
So it's worth doing that. Other than that, I've got nothing. We'll see you in Winchester on Friday night.
Yeah. Well, it's come out tonight, isn't it? So tonight we're going to be in Winchester. Worcester. Still a couple of... Marcus, would you like to end the show?
We'll try it
at a club.
Peter will go to Worcester and he'll be in a theatre performing on his own and just sat in the audience with a nice big bag of popcorn, Keegan.
Keegan, yeah.
I'm enjoying
he knows
really
what's inside his
show,
popcorn's Pete. Bud.
remember to go to thefootballramble.com for all your football-y goodness and so much more. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
See you later.
We're all off to Club Keggy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.